We live in a world that is bad. Each day we don't love other people as we should. Each day we hurt other people. We put our own interests before God and others. We do it all the time. We do it at school. We do it at work. We do it online. We do it at home. We even do it in our church family. We live in a world that is bad. But we also live in a world that is sad. Even without meaning it, sad things happen. We fall over. We crash our bike. People get ill. What happened to someone this week in our church family? Well, loved ones even die. We live in a world that is bad and is sad. And this week we are some of the children in our church to tell us about the bad and sad things which happen to them.
So can you tell me what you think is bad or sad in the world?
Hitting people. And something sad is that your mummy died. Yes, and hitting is something not good.
Something bad.
I find it sad not seeing friends and family.
Sometimes people shout at me and make naughty noises at me and shout at me.
I don't like someone hurt me just because I get injuries.
It's sad that I can't go to school and see my friends anymore.
What things are sad or bad in the world, really?
Floods, I think, are bad. In other countries.
When my brother steals my teddies.
It's sad that we can't go to church anymore and go to KBC Youth.
When I'm doing something, my sister keeps on distracting me and I don't like it.
What's sad in the world, Finn?
Hitting, kicking, punching.
Yeah, you're right, they are sad.
I can have trouble with Granny and Grampy.
We live in a world that is bad and sad. But the amazing thing is that in the passage that we're looking at this morning, we learn about a time when life won't be like that. In the passage that we're looking at this morning, we learn about a time when all those that are trusting in Jesus can look forward to a perfect forever home with God. If you could pick up your Bible, open it up to the bit that we read. And as you're finding it, I want you to ask this question. As you pick up your Bible, I want you to hold it up in front of you and think about this. Where are we in the Bible? Go on, hold it up in front of you and see if you can see. Because we aren't at the beginning of the Bible this morning. And we aren't looking at the middle either. No, the bit that we're looking at in the Bible this morning is the end. We're looking at the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And chapter 21 is the second to last chapter in the last book of the Bible. So this morning we are looking at the end of the Bible's story of human history. The book of Revelation was written by a man called John. And when John had this vision that Jesus gave him in this book, well, he was on an island called Patmos. He was on this island at a time when Christians were going through a really hard time. They felt really badly the badness and sadness of the world around them. So Jesus gave John a series of amazing visions. And in the vision that we read of this morning, we read of the perfect forever home that Christians will have with God. And at the beginning of Revelation, John tells us that Jesus gave John these visions so that we can keep going in all of the badness, in all of the sadness. A little bit like that video with Bix and Natan and Nathan. You remember how when they had the reward in front of them, they were able to keep planking for longer. Well, it's a little bit like that with this passage this morning. As we see the reward that waits for Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus, well, it helps us to keep going through all the badness and sadness we experience in life. So let's jump in to the vision that we're looking at this morning. Read with me. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This future that followers of Jesus can look forward to, well, it's a new heaven and a new earth. That's this earth recreated brand new. And do you notice where we'll be in this earth? Well, followers of Jesus will be in a city. But this city won't be like the city you and I live in. It won't be like Bristol. It will be very different. It will be very different because it will be holy. Now, that word holy might be a word that you're not sure what it means. And if that's you, well, the really helpful thing about this vision this morning is John sees a picture in this vision which helps us understand what this word holy means. Let me ask you a question. When do you get dressed the best? When do you get dressed up the best? Is it when you go out into the garden and do some gardening? Is that when you get dressed the best? No, not for me either. Ah, what about when you go and play some sport? Is that when you go and get dressed the best? We can play tennis now, at least in twos. Is that when you get dressed the best? No, not me either. Let me tell you when I get dressed the best. I get dressed the best for a wedding. It's an important occasion. It's a great celebration. And did you know that we read of a wedding in this passage? Did you spot that there in verse 2? And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, dressed beautifully for her husband. Now, I get dressed the best for a wedding. But if you've ever been to a wedding, you'll know that when you go to a wedding, you're not the best dressed. I've never been to a wedding and been the dressed best because there's only ever one person who is best dressed at a wedding. And that's the bride. And we have a bride in this passage this morning. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you will be part of that bride. When Jesus comes back, you will be pure and beautiful. That means we'll be holy. There won't be any sadness. There won't be any badness in us. We won't kick and punch and hit other people. Because we will be washed clean. We will be pure. Pure, beautiful, and true. But perhaps the surprise of the vision that we're looking at this morning is this. That isn't the best thing about this passage. Can you believe that? Us dressed as a bride, pure and beautiful, no sadness, no badness in us. That's not the best thing in this passage. No, the best thing about our heavenly home will be something else. It will be that we are with God. Now, that might seem a little bit strange to you. You might be thinking, surely no badness, surely no sadness. That has to be the best thing about being in our heavenly home. But no, it's that we will be with God. And I'm going to tell you a story to try and help explain to you why. When I was young, I was in the Scouts. I was in the Beavers, the Cubs, and then the Scouts. And one evening, whilst we were in Cubs, well, we would go off every Thursday night on a great adventure. This one Thursday night, we went off for a woodland walk. I remember I went into the car with my friend Chris and friend George. Mum and Dad drove, and we arrived in the car park and met our group. And then we headed off on our woodland walk. Now, I've got a bit of a confession to make. When I was young, I wasn't the best behaved. I would commit lots of badness and sadness. And my friends Chris and George, they were even worse. And what happened this Thursday night when we were off on our Cub Scout walk was myself, Chris and George, we were just playing around at the back. And the group would go off up the track and we kept falling further and further behind. We would realize that we were really behind, so we would run up and catch up with the rest of the group, but give it a few minutes and we were playing around again, fighting with sticks, poking each other, and we kept falling off the back again. It was now towards the end of the walk. And Chris thought he saw something in the woods. He thought it was maybe a football or something. And so George and I ran off with him into the woods trying to search for this football. 5 minutes went by. We still couldn't find this football. And so thinking that we better get back with the group, we ran back onto the path. And do you know what we saw? Well, we didn't see our group. We were now really far behind. And we ran to try and catch up, but we couldn't see them anywhere. And then, you know what? We reached a crossroads and it finally dawned on us. We were lost. The dark started to come in. And Chris and George, as I turned beside them, well, they started crying. They started crying for their mummy. This was Chris, this was George. Chris and George were always bigger and stronger and braver than me. And now they were crying for their mummies. And do you know what? In the dark, in the woods, with Chris and George crying beside me, do you know where the place I wanted to be more than anywhere else in the world? Was it back with my leader? Was it back with the group? Was it even in the car? No. The place I wanted to be more than anywhere else in the world was home. Because it's safe, it's warm, and that's where my mummy and my daddy were. You see, home, well, what makes home home is our relationships. I don't know who you're at home with this morning. Maybe it's your mum, dad, maybe it's your brothers and sisters. Maybe it's for other family or friends. Not everybody lives with other people in their home. But for those that do, it's the relationships that make home home. For me now, it's my wife Helena and our little baby Jessie. That's what makes home home. And the amazing thing is, we can look for a forever, forward to a forever home with God. Because you see, as great as home is for me at the moment, well, it's still filled with badness and sadness. Helen and I still fall out. I get annoyed with Jesse when I shouldn't do. He's only 8 weeks old. Our relationships at the moment are filled with badness and sadness, but we can look forward to being in our heavenly home with God where there will be no sadness or badness. We can look forward to being in a forever ever home with God. That's the big thing that we see in this passage this morning. Jesus is coming back, and the best thing about it is that we will be with God. Verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" We will fully and finally be home with God. And because we will be perfectly with God, there will be no sadness or badness. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We can look forward to a world without any sadness or badness. An amazing heavenly home with God. But that's then. What about now? I mean, if that's the heavenly home we can look forward to, what difference does it make to us now? Well, as we come towards the end of our service, can I suggest two things that that means for us now? And I get them from verse 5. "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Everything we've been learning this morning about Jesus coming back and with him making everything new, well, all of that is trustworthy and true. And so that means now, as we go through all the sadness and the badness, we can hold on to God's word. As we experience badness, we trust and hold on to God's word. As we experience sadness, we hold on and trust to God's word. We remind ourselves of some amazing verses, verses like verses 6 and 7. And Jesus said to John, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. I will be their God, and they will be my children." When our brother or sister snatches from us, we don't snatch back. No, we hold on to God's word and look forward to our heavenly home. Maybe when our granny or granddad gets ill and we're not sure if they're going to get better, we don't worry. We don't need to panic. No, we hold on to God's word and look forward to our heavenly home. When we're now kind of in our 10th week in lockdown and we really miss our family and our friends, we don't organise a massive barbecue and get everybody round. No, we listen to what the government has said and we hold on to God's word. As we go through the sadness and badness of life, we hold on to God's word as we look forward to our perfect forever ever home with God. That's the first thing. But here's the second. This amazing future that we can look forward to, this perfect forever ever home with God, well, we don't just keep it to ourselves, do we? No, as we hold on to God's word, we want to hold it out to others. We want to tell other people about Jesus so they can hear about him, they can trust in him, and they can look forward to being with him too. Because this passage is really clear. It teaches us really straight What will happen to those who don't trust in Jesus? Have a look at verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is the second death. That's what's going to happen to everybody who doesn't trust in the Lord Jesus. So I have to ask you this morning, if you're sat at home and you know you're not trusting in him, can I ask you to think carefully about the future that you look forward to? Because verse 8, well, it's no future at all. As we experience the sadness and badness of life, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, we hold on to God's word and we hold it out to others. As I finish, I want to ask you this. What's the one thing you love doing with other people? More than anything else, what is the one thing that you love doing with other people? I don't know, maybe for you, it's playing in the sandpit at nursery or doing craft at school. Maybe it's playing computer games online or going to Mackie D's with your mates. Oh, how people long for Mackie D's at the moment. Maybe it's getting the lads round for watching the match, hanging out with the girls. Maybe it's going to the salon and catching up with your hairdresser. Maybe it's going for a long walk with the family. What is it? What's the one thing you love doing with other people? You might not have been able to do it for weeks. But whatever it is, I want you to close your eyes now and imagine you're doing it. Go on, close your eyes now. Imagine that you're doing it. And as you're imagining doing that favorite thing with the people you love, I want you to imagine that the words of this passage start coming true. Right there, right then. You're in the sandpit, you're playing online, you're in the hairdressers, whatever. I want you to imagine that the Lord Jesus starts coming back right there and right then. And as it's dawning on you and you're getting excited that Jesus is coming back to lead you to your heavenly home, well, you look round to your family and you look round to your friends and they say to you, why did you never tell us about this? What a question that would be. Why didn't you tell us about this hope that you had? Why did you keep it to yourself? What a question that will be. As we experience the sadness and badness of life, we have a perfect forever home to look forward to. So what do we do now? We hold on to God's word and we hold it out to others. Let's finish by praying together. Loving Heavenly Father, we feel the sadness and badness of life, of hitting and kicking and punching, of nasty names and all that bad and sad stuff. Lord, how we thank you for those that are trusting in Jesus, we can look forward to a perfect forever, ever home with you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to hold on to your words. To trust it. It's trustworthy and true. And Lord, I pray that as we hold on to it, we'd hold it out for others. And as we've held it out this morning, I pray that if anybody's tuning in who knows they're not trusting in you, Lord, how I pray that you'd work by your Spirit and draw them into a loving relationship with you so they too can look forward to a perfect forever home with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.